Well, hey, everybody, we are in the last week of our This Is What We Do series, and I just need to admit that I've been like walking the hallways of the church for the last three weeks singing the 90s hip-hop song, This Is How We Do It. So anyway, but that's not actually the name of the series. It's This Is What We Do, and it's all about how we as a church serve our community and be generous with what God has blessed us with. And so I know that nobody's favorite topic is money, and I'm kind of glad that this is ending. But I do think it's important for us to talk about how we can be generous. And this really comes from the biblical idea, and it's kind of countercultural, that we really do believe that it's better to give than to receive. And people say that, and it's like a phrase, a cliche that we use, but most people don't actually mean it, right? They say that it's better to give or receive, but really they want to get. You know, on Christmas morning, you care more about what you get than what you give, at least children. Hopefully not adults. But anyway, but we really do believe that that's true, that when God gives us things, that's great. We're happy to receive blessings. But the whole point of him giving us blessings is so that we can be a blessing to others and so that we can give what he has given us. And that giving it away is just freedom. It's just joy to be able to serve with the gifts, with the talents that you've been given to make sure that you are a blessing. And we believe that as a church. And that's what we do, is that we are generous. And I want to point out, because we've used these words, giving and generous, a lot, that they're not the same. That you can give and not be generous. And you can be generous while giving very little. So I just want to give you this hypothetical. Let's imagine that you go to bed tonight and you wake up in the morning and you are Bill Gates, right? One of the richest people in the world. It's going to be weird for all of you, but probably especially the women. But, you know, deal with it. So you wake up tomorrow and you are Bill Gates and you are just rolling in it, right? And I imagine most of you, after the initial shock wears off, would decide to use that to be generous. You would just like go to the poorest part of town that you can find and start handing out wads of cash. You're like throwing Rolexes to the wind, right? Like whatever, because you're Bill Gates and you can, right? You got like private jets to take you to these poor places in the world and dig wells and build homes and do all these cool things because you're just filthy rich, right? But the reality is, if you did all of that for a day, if you just gave out as much money as you could over the course of a day, it wouldn't actually be very much of his total wealth. He is that rich. I actually heard one time that if Bill Gates was walking down the street and he saw a $100 bill on the ground, it is not worth his time to pick it up. Because in the moment that it would take for him to bend down and pick it up, he makes more money than that. Isn't that crazy? That's how rich he is. And so he is actually very generous. I love the Gates Foundation and the work they do around the world. But giving away just random money here and there wouldn't be very generous of him because it would just amount to almost nothing of his total wealth. Does that make sense? So you can give and not actually be generous because generosity is different. Generosity is when we start giving not just out of our excess, not just out of our overflow, but we start giving something meaningful, something that really matters to us. I tend to think of it as the spare change in my pocket. If I only ever give the spare change in my pocket, I'm never going to be generous. Because the reality is, first of all, I hate spare change. If there's coins in my pocket, it annoys me. It's like jingling and heavy. I don't like it. You try to run and it's all like bouncy in your pocket. So I don't like carrying around change. So if I give you my spare change, you're actually doing me a favor. Because I don't like carrying around spare change. And it's not very much money. It's only going to be a couple nickels and some fuzz in my pocket, right? It's not going to amount to very much. But that's what a lot of us do. We walk down the street, we see something, we're like, oh, here you go. And it's just our spare change. It might be a few dollars, it might be $20, but it's still just our spare change. It doesn't really matter. Most of us have the resources that if we give away $5, it's no big deal. We don't even think about it again. It's our spare change. And spare change is different depending on how much you make, but everybody can give away spare change. And it doesn't really matter. We're not encouraging you to give away your spare change. We're giving you an opportunity to think about giving that is meaningful, both to you and to those who receive it. And part of the reason that we don't be generous is because we tend to live in what we call a cycle of scarcity. And I got a little graphic for you here, and this is really normal in our society, that people get things, resources, money. They consume those resources or money, and then they lack once again. So someone told me this because I talked about it in the last service, that the actual statistic is 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. You know what that means? So most Americans get paid every other week. So they get paid, and then during that 2 weeks, they spend all of it, and then they get paid, and then the next 2 weeks, they spend all of it, and they just do that forever. The problem is, what if your car breaks down? What if something unexpected happens and you don't have any cushion? You don't have anything in savings. You don't have any extra. What are you going to do? But 78% of Americans, I find that startling, live paycheck to paycheck. They literally consume everything they get, and then they once again find themselves lacking. And that's a really dangerous place to be. We could have a whole sermon series just on that and what God says about being wise with your money and good stewardship of what you are given. But we're not talking about just that. We're talking about generosity. So when it comes to generosity, I want you to think of living in a very different cycle, what we call the cycle of supply. And this is it. We give, God multiplies, and then our faith grows. So we are faithful to do what we've been told to do, which is be generous. Then we trust that God will do what only He can do, which is multiply. And then when we see God do what He does, our faith will grow. Because we will continue to be amazed at God's ability to multiply our resources. And this is super biblical. We've talked about some examples where Jesus takes what is given to Him and He multiplies it. You know, the best story, of course, is the one with the fish and the loaves, where there's a bunch of hungry people, thousands, and Jesus says, what are we going to do? And some little boy brings him his lunch. It's a simple gift. And Jesus multiplies and He feeds all the people. But that's what God does. He takes what we are willing to give, even if it's meager, and He multiplies it into something amazing. And when we see God do that, our faith will grow. You will be amazed what God can do with even a little bit. I didn't tell this story at the 9 o'clock, so don't tell them. But I'm going to tell it because it's a good story. So I never had a multiplication story before this. I never saw God do it in person. And you're going to like give me a hard time and tell me it's not true multiplication. But I'm telling you, it was a miracle. So one year, I was on a trip in Denver, Colorado over Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. And a group of us were kind of interns. And we were volunteering at this church. And the church had this idea, because they had all these interns, that we would put on a meal on Martin Luther King Jr. Day at the end of the parade that goes through downtown Denver. And literally the parade route went right to the church. So there's thousands of people marching in this parade, and they're going to end at the church, and we're going to have this meal, and it's a free meal. Anyone who wants to come. So we spent 3 or 4 days preparing for this meal, and we just made food. I mean, just huge amounts of food for this meal, and we were ready to serve people. We didn't know if they would be rich or homeless. We didn't care. If they were hungry, we were going to serve them. Turns out, it was a very popular idea. And like, we were expecting hundreds, and there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that showed up for this meal. And the line was just down the street. And we knew how much food we had made, and we knew that it wasn't going to go far enough. So there was a moment where we were like, okay, just give like a little bit of mashed potatoes, you know? And the person in charge said, no, give them a good amount of food, because you don't know if this is the only meal they're going to get all day. And we were like, but, you know, and so we're freaking out in the kitchen, and we're worried, and the line is, it just keeps coming, and we didn't know what we were going to do. Here's what happened. So people from the church, members of the church, saw the need, and they started going to action. So one guy called Pizza Hut, and he ordered like 50 pizzas. Another guy ran to KFC. Some random like lady showed up with pancakes. It was the weirdest meal anyone's ever eaten, I'm telling you right now. It was like mashed potatoes with pancakes. Did not make any sense from a cultural like food standpoint. But we fed every person. And that's a miracle to me, that the people of God showed up and multiplied the food. And I was so amazed that day. And I remember that night we had worship service and we were just like crying. And just like, did you see how happy that person was to get pancakes and mashed potatoes? And I just was amazed that God would show up and do that. But that is what God does. And so I want to encourage you to give, but I want to give you three ways that you can give and three ways to think about how you can give in a way that's going to make a difference for the kingdom of God. So the first way that we want you to give is spontaneously. Spontaneously. This is unplanned giving. So what happens is you're just walking down the road, minding your own business, living your life, going to drop your kids off at soccer practice or whatever you do. And during that time, you see a need. Any need. But you see a person or people who are in need. And you feel something. And I'm going to tell you that that's the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, right? You feel something. You feel compelled to action. And you realize, maybe I can help meet this need. And so you do. And there's lots of examples. A common one is that you see someone who's hungry or homeless or cold. It's obvious that they are in physical need and you feel compelled to help. I have a funny story about this. So I need you to know that my wife is a better person than me. Her compassion level is like up here and mine is somewhere down here. And if it bothers you that your pastor has a low compassion level, sorry. So it's just is what it is. But her spiritual gift is compassion. So we were one day in Nashville, Tennessee, and it was, I think, November, and it was chilly. Now, I need you to realize this is Tennessee, so if it's in, like, the 50s, people freak out. So we're in Nashville, and it's chilly, and we're driving down the road. We're actually leaving the city. We're driving back to Indy. I'm about to get on the interstate, and I come up to a stoplight, and I stop at the stoplight, and there's a park bench, and on the park bench is a man. I did not see the man. I did not look. I'm looking at the light. I'm waiting for a turn so I can go home. But my wife sees this man sitting on the park bench. He's cold. She notices immediately that he looks cold. And she starts crying. And I have no idea why she's crying. I'm like, did you injure yourself? Like, what did you do? Why are you crying? And she just starts kind of blabbering about this man and he's cold. And I'm like, uh-huh. And then the light turns green, so I go. Because that my compassion level, remember? Okay. So I'm driving, I get on the interstate, we're driving toward home, and she's still crying, and I'm like, what do you want to do? Should we pray for him? And she's like, no, we have to help him. I was like, okay. So she makes me get off at the next exit and turn around and go back to where the man is, and I, of course, I'm like, maybe he's not there anymore, you know, like, maybe he left. He was waiting for a bus. I don't know, but he is. He's there. So we pull up to the spot, and I park the car, and we get out, and I'm like, what's our plan here, baby? What are we going to do? And she's like, I'm not sure yet. So we walk up to this man, and we're talking to him, and at a certain point, she looks at me, and she says, hun, give him your coat. I was like, what? Give him your coat. Not a coat. I want to point this out. Not a coat. We did not go to the store and buy him a coat. She gave him my coat that I was wearing. So I took it off. I really like that coat, by the way. I took it off. I gave it to the man. Here's the thing. I can go buy another coat, but this man couldn't. And so I'm glad that we gave him the coat that day. But she did exactly what I'm encouraging you guys to do. See a need, meet a need. And it might be that you're watching TV and you see on the news about the people of Puerto Rico that are drinking contaminated water. And you decide to give to the Red Cross or give to UMCOR and you want to make a difference. That's exactly what I'm talking about, is that spontaneous moment that you didn't plan to have your heart tugged, but God moves and you decide to do something, to give spontaneously. And this is biblical. Jesus tells us this story in Luke chapter 10. You're probably familiar with it. It's called the Good Samaritan. And I'm not going to go into the early part of the story other than to say there's a man who is beaten and robbed and left for dead. And several people walk by and do not help the man. But then we get to this part of the story in verse 33. It says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Now, this Samaritan man did not wake up that day thinking, I'm going to find someone beaten on the side of the road and help them. He didn't know what he would encounter as he walked. He just saw someone in need and decided to meet that need. He gave spontaneously. And actually, we would all agree he gives generously above and beyond what he would be required to do. But it's that spontaneous moment of love, compassion, that he decides to act on. And that's the example that we're supposed to follow, that Jesus gives us. But I want to give you a few more examples of real life spontaneous generosity in our church. Because I think it's good to see this. And I have told you before, I kind of get the backstage view of what goes on in this church. I'm here all the time. So I get to see the cool stuff that you guys do. And I'm not going to give you names because I'm not trying to like make anybody a hero here. Jesus is the hero. But I want to show you that this church is amazing at being generous. And this is a few spontaneous examples. So a few years ago, there was a girl. She was in eighth grade at the time. She's now in college. She heard that we had a problem. You see, in the youth ministry for years, we had a sponsor child, a young boy that we would give money to every month so that he could have education and food and clothing. And we'd been struggling to keep up with the payments. We were falling behind, is the truth. And so one week in youth group, I stood up and I said, hey guys, if you could try to bring a little bit of extra next week, that would help us. So this girl goes home and she gathers up all her babysitting money and all her dog walking money. And the next week she brings it to church. Not some of it, all of it. And told me she wanted to give it to this young man. It was $130. Now, she had been saving that money for a long time. And I'm sure she had plans for what she was going to do with that money. And I tried to talk her out of it. I was like, no, 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 you don't need to do this. She wanted to. And she did. And it was just that spontaneous moment of feeling compelled. And I texted with her about it this past week. And she's still proud of that moment. And I'm proud of that moment where she decided to be generous in that moment. It was really beautiful. There was another example this week, actually, where I ran into somebody out in the gathering space, and I asked them what they were doing here, and they told me they were here to clean the kitchen, that one right there. And I was like, why? Because they don't work here. They just go to church here. Why are you here to clean the kitchen? And they said, well, in a couple weeks, we have the Kids Coats giveaway, and we make meals, and the kitchen needs cleaned. And I wasn't busy, so I thought I would do it. And they were literally in there scrubbing on their hands and knees the kitchen so that people they don't know in our community can be served food. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. And so I'm not going to tell you who it was, but they're in the room. Anyway, so we should give spontaneously, and giving spontaneously is good, but I don't want you to stop there, because the reality is if you only give spontaneously, you will only give every once in a while. Because that moment where you walk down the road and see someone bleeding, that doesn't happen very often. At least, I hope it doesn't happen very often. So if you only give spontaneously, you'll only give every once in a while. We want you to have a plan for regular and consistent giving so that you can be a blessing to people on a regular basis. And so we want you to think strategically. And giving strategically is good because when you can give more if you plan to give more. You can give more if you plan to give more. Isaiah 32, verse 8 says, generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. They have a plan, and they follow that plan. They don't quit the plan. When things get tough, they have a plan, and they stick to that plan. They stand firm in it. And I believe this is important because I believe that as followers of Jesus, when we give to the church, when we give to Christian organizations, we are investing our money in the kingdom of God. In the same way that you might invest in your 401k or the stock market, when you give to the church, when you give to Christian ministries, you are investing in the kingdom of God. Because you believe that that will pay off. Not for you, but it will pay off for other people who are in need. That we are going to use that money in a powerful way. And because I believe that this is true, my wife and I are really diligent about how and when and where we give our money. So we sit down at the beginning of every year and we plan, this is how much we're going to give, that's how much it is per week. We know what we're going to give at the end of the year. We're not surprised when we get our taxes and it says you gave this much. We knew how much we were going to give. That's what we planned to give because we had a plan. We also are very diligent about researching the organizations that we give to. I don't just give to anybody. If somebody knocks on my door and asks for money, I'm probably going to say no. Because in reality, I want to check them out. I want to make sure that their organization is legit. There are really cool websites you can go to where you can find out charitable organizations, whether they use the money well, how much their admin costs are compared to how much they give away. And I check out organizations before I give them a single dollar. And the organizations that I do support, I know are using the money well. In fact, I love Compassion International, which I mentioned was our sponsor child earlier. I have been to several Compassion International sites around the world, and they're amazing. And so that just reinforced for me that that is a wonderful organization where I should continue to give my money. But that is not always true. There are scam artists and there are poorly run organizations where if you give your money, it's not going to go as far. Now, I want to invest my money wisely. I want to make sure that what I give is going to be used in the most powerful way possible. And so I have a plan. I stick to the plan so that I can be a blessing to as many people as possible. I wanted to give you an example of strategic giving. This is Richard Ney. Richard Ney was a member of our church for many years, active in our church for many years. He passed away several years ago, but his legacy is not done. So Richard, this is a picture of him working on a Henderson mission trip. I wanted to make sure I found a picture of him working in Henderson because he loved the Henderson trip. He went every year. It was a big passion of his. And before he died, he gave a large gift to the church. And we use that gift every year. We are allotted a certain amount of money each year to use. We're supposed to use all of it. And we're supposed to use it in a way that's honoring to Richard. And so we've given a lot of it to the Henderson trip because it was such a passion of his that we can support that ministry and make sure that the people in that area of Kentucky, their needs are being met through Richard's ongoing gift. But he also loved this service. The contemporary worship service, even when it was small and really just starting out, Richard loved it and believed in it. And so we've used some of the money from the Richard Ney Fund to actually buy those lights that are allowing you to see me right now. And that was something that Richard cared about. And so we want to use his ongoing gift, his strategically given gift, in a way that would be honoring to him. And it's a really cool example of how a strategic gift can be used for many, many, many years and will continue to be used for many years to come. And then the last thing that we want you to do is give sacrificially. To not just give out of your excess, not just give your loose coins, but to give in a way that really matters. And so we already heard this story earlier today. You guys weren't here for the children's moment, but in the earlier service, our children's moment was all about this story that Jesus tells in Mark chapter 12. It says this, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money in the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." It's a beautiful story that Jesus tells of this woman who gives sacrificially. She gives everything because she believes in what God is doing. Other people gave more, but she gave the most because she gave everything she had. That's sacrificial giving. And I have seen this story in action over and over and over again, especially when we do mission work. I can tell you story after story of people who were in deep poverty and yet we're generous beyond reason, beyond what we would do probably. One example happened this past year. We were in El Salvador. And I need to tell you about a fruit in El Salvador for this story to make sense. So there's a little fruit that grows in El Salvador called mamones. And they're like this big, and they're green, and they're not appetizing looking at all. But when you crack open the husk, there's this gelatinous stuff inside, and you suck on it, and it's delicious. Okay, it seems weird, but I'm telling you, mamones are the bomb. But they only grow in El Salvador. And so anyway, we love mamones. And there was one kid in particular on the trip, his name is Brian, who was kind of obsessed with mamones. Every time we went to the market, he would try to buy them. He accidentally bought these other things that look like mamones, but they're not good. But he loves mamones. And he would talk about it. Well, some of the locals that we were working with heard him talk about mamones and saw the excitement on his face when he would eat them. And one day, when we got to the work site, this woman that was a part of the organization that was a local in El Salvador came up to Brian and she handed them a bag of mimones. It was like a big bag full of mimones. And he was just blown away. He was like, wait, what? Really? Like, this is for me? And she said, yes, this is for you. I know you enjoy them. And so he took them and he's sharing them with everyone. And then he came over to me and I could like see the wheels spinning in his brain. He's like, Scott, what do I do? Can I like pay her? And I was like, no, it was a gift. You don't pay people for gifts. That would be rude. He's like, well, what do I do? And I said, say thank you. And so he did. He went up and he said thank you and he shared them with all the kids. But it was this beautiful moment where he realized, I have way more money than her, and yet she is being generous with me. And it didn't feel right to him. But it was a beautiful moment where someone was generous. And if he had tried to pay her, it would have insulted her gift. In a similar way, I imagine that when Jesus is telling his disciples about this woman giving the coins, some of them are thinking, we should stop her. We should give her her money back. But the point of the story is that she is being generous, and why would you stop someone from giving a beautiful gift? Generosity involves sacrificial giving. I want to give you a few examples of sacrificial giving from our church, and these have both happened really recently. In fact, one happened last week. I got an email from a family in our church who had heard about and seen some needs over at the Mission House, the building right over here in the parking lot where we have our food pantry. There are some needs in the Mission House. It's an old building. It's seen better days. Parts of it need fixed. And they had noticed these needs. We have a few projects that we've been talking about, upgrading the flooring in the Mission House because it's really dirty, working on some concrete work that would be a beneficial. And so they had seen these needs, and they sent me an email saying, we would like to help meet these needs. And they included the dollar amount that they wanted to give. It was thousands of dollars that they're going to give to the Mission House so we can do those projects. And that's above and beyond what they already give to our congregation. And I was just blown away because that's not something that's going to benefit them. That's going to benefit the visitors, the guests at our Mission House who come to get food on a weekly basis. And I just thought it was such a beautiful and generous and sacrificial gift that will benefit people for years and years to come. And then there was another example recently. Some of you know that our playground was just renovated a few months ago, and I've already talked about the number of volunteers that showed up to help install all that equipment, and that was really cool. But you may not know that the cost of that equipment was huge. Even, we got a great deal, it was still a lot of money. And one gift in particular helped make that possible. And a member of this church was willing to give sacrificially to make that something that kids will benefit from for years and years to come. And will make our church a place where this community enjoys and people can have joy and laughter. And I just think that's a beautiful example of sacrificial giving in our church. Guys, this is what we do. As a congregation, we serve our community. We serve our world. And as a church, one of the goals that we have is to wisely and carefully steward the resources that we are given to make a difference in the kingdom of God. And so, I don't know what you give. I never will know what people give to this church. But if you give to this church, even $1, we're going to try to do our best to steward that, to make sure that we serve the kingdom of God in the best way that we possibly can. And then we're just going to trust that God will take what we give and he'll multiply our effectiveness, that he'll allow us to reach more people with the love and hope of Jesus Christ, to serve more people in whatever way that we can. That's what we're going to do. The question that I want to leave you is, are you willing to be a part of we? Are you willing to invest in the future of this church, in the future that we can have in this community and in our world? I want to end with reading from Ephesians chapter 3 because I think it's a perfect summary of the faith that we put into God. Not us, not our resources, but God. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. See, we have dreams and plans for this church. We have dreams of more people that we can serve or more people that we can welcome. But sometimes our dreams aren't big enough. And this verse reminds us that God can do even more than that. That we might say, oh, maybe God can add 5% over the next year. God could do way more than that if we just believed. And so we're just going to trust that whatever you're able to give, whether it's a little or a lot, that God would use it in ways that we can't even imagine yet to be a blessing to this church and to the people in need. Now, I want to remind you that as you leave today and during the last song, that you can, if you choose, make a pledge to the church of what you want to give. And in your bulletin, there's a pledge card. And if you're not prepared today, I totally get it. Because you might need time to go home and plan and think and pray, and that's fine. But if you want to support this church, it's beneficial to us to kind of have an idea of what might be pledged over the next year. And so take that pledge card, think about ways that you might be a blessing to this congregation, pray over it, and then if you're willing to make that promise, we would love it. Let me pray, and then we'll invite the band back up to lead us in one more song. Father God, thank you for today. I know this is a hard topic. And yet I see over and over again that this church is a generous church. That people go above and beyond. People have their hearts tugged by your Holy Spirit and they're willing to meet those needs. Lord, help us as we try to be faithful with money, which is a hard thing to give away. But God, when we trust you and believe that you are good, it can be a joy to see our resources used for the benefit of the kingdom. For the benefit of those in need, that we might together as a church be a blessing to so many more for years to come. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.